scripture tonight. So with you, along with me, in your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5. That's the chapter that speaks of the blessed beatitudes of our Savior. Matthew chapter 5. Once you turn to Matthew chapter 5, I want you to get ready to look at verses 10 through 12. And then once you get that, with one finger in that scripture, stay in the same book of Matthew and turn over to chapter 10 and be ready to read verse 34. All right. Yeah, this is very, very interesting verse of scriptures that I was looking at. And Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. And then keep your finger in there and get ready to read chapter 10, verse 34. This says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now, when you look at Matthew 10 and verse 34, we see the Lord saying something else. He said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword." Same Lord. Now he says, blessed is that man who is persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when men are going to revile you, persecute you, say all things against you. Be exceedingly glad because your reward is great. And then he says, don't think that I'm come to bring peace on the earth. I didn't come to send peace, but I'm coming with the sword. This shows us a lot about the character of our Lord, but this night's subject is called the strange man. The strange man. It's my premise to say that if you're a believer, you are a strange man, because you will abide by this same very word. Now, as John MacArthur put it this way, he said that the Christian who lives in the Beatitudes will be both a peacemaker and one who creates persecution. Listen to what he said. The Christian who lives the Beatitudes is both a peacemaker and one who creates persecution. Now, it doesn't take too much to think about that. If you live out the Beatitudes, by virtue of your life living the Beatitudes, persecution is going to be created by your lifestyle. Put it to you this way. If you went to a company and you went to work at the company and everybody did everything just the same way and nothing ever bothered anybody, nothing would be created in terms of persecution. You'd just be sitting in there and you'd just be riding, floating right along in with the tide. But it's not that way for the blessed man that lives a beatitude. He's a peacemaker and he creates persecution. Jesus is presenting in words no less than a picture of a genuine Christian here as a strange, strange man. Isn't it strange? Look again at the scripture. Zero in. Favored is that man which is persecuted for living right. For that man that lives right, that is persecuted for living right, his is God's kingdom. Favored is that man when that man is reviled and when people persecute that man and when men say all evil manner of evil against you falsely for Christ's sake. Now you notice the people have to say, Brother Jones, something evil against you for whose sake? Christ's sake, not their sake, not the sake of another. Christ is saying, when you suffer persecution behind me, you become a strange man. Some people think that Christians should be soft-hearted, caring, compassionate individuals. But in 10:34, Jesus says, I'm not soft-hearted, caring, and compassionate all the time. I'm coming with a sword. A Christian is a strange man, Christians. You're a strange creature. You can be soft and compassionate and gentle and kind. And then, Brother Matt, sometimes you come swinging a sword, cutting deep and swiping everything down in your path. I know we like to think of our Lord as some kind of a humble, passive, weak, jelly-bellied person that never took a stand for anything and just said, beat me up, drag me through the streets, scandalize my name. Do you remember what happened at the trial when Pontius Pilate asked the Lord, don't you hear what they're bringing against you? Won't you say anything to defend yourself? And it says that Jesus didn't say a word. But that doesn't mean that Jesus was just a soft-hearted, caring, compassionate individual, because he swung the sword. And did you know that if you read in the book of Revelation, when Jesus comes back, do you think he's going to be like he was before Pilate? When Jesus comes back, all of his enemies are going to bow. The Christian is a strange man because we imitate our Lord. Christ swiftly swings the blade of his word, and he swiftly swings it with the intent to do spiritual warfare. Christians, if blessed is that man that is persecuted for righteousness' sake, but while you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, you will swing the sword of the word of God and live constantly in his will every day of your life with the intent to do spiritual warfare. So the strange man does, what do I have? Just four small things. I just jotted them down to outline this the other, a few hours ago. The strange man does four things. His life produces persecution. Now I know what we're taught to think. We're taught to think that because we're Christians, our life produces goodness and righteousness and everybody loves us. No, it doesn't. Your life is going to produce persecution. The mere reasoning that you are a Christian, number one, the evil world is going to zero in on you and try to make Christian appear to be worldly. John and I were talking earlier, Brother Milton, and we were talking about what a famous theologian said here recently, that there can't be 30 or 40 years left for America, that we're going to tear ourselves apart at the root of it, because of the way things are structured in our economy. If America is torn apart at the root of it, Christians will never be torn apart. But we might be the cause of it because our very life produces persecution because of the nature of Christianity. The nature of Christianity makes one think. You know, my heart was really blessed when somebody told me after the sermon today, they said, practically everything you said pierced my heart to the conscience, to the core. That was me. Person says they couldn't keep their eyes off of my lips. Now, did you know something? That's a person that understands what the Christian life is all about. It cuts very deep because of its nature. It produces persecution, and it makes persecution in your own life. If you're really a believer, guess what it does, Charles? The word of God will persecute you when you are out of line. You hear me? The word of God will make the preacher get down and repent. Also, we see that the word of God has the strange man has no choice in the matter because he is subjected to God. Look at what it says. It says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. Be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. You have no choice in the matter. You are to function in that matter. As a Christian, when you are persecuted, you are to rejoice. You are not to say, Lord, that's enough. I don't want it to go that way. You've got to say, I'm a strange man. I'm a strange woman. Whatever he puts on me, I am supposed to take it. See, the Lord dictates the perimeters in your life. You don't. You don't. So when persecution comes in different matters, you don't say, Lord, don't bring that. I want it to go this way. What you do is you make sure that you govern yourself in the right way. What else does a strange man do? Secondly, his mind is controlled by another. Philippians 2:5 says it this way. It says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The strange man is controlled by another mind, not your mind. How many of us as Christians have made up our minds what we are going to do? And if we do it that way, we won't be persecuted. Well, what the Lord is saying, No, your mind belongs to me. You're going to do it my way. And doing it my way might bring you persecution. But look what he says in verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Now, there's not going to be any great reward in heaven unless you've gone through some persecution. But some of us have it this way. No, it's not supposed to be persecution. I won't allow that. All of us that are truly Christians are strange men. You've got to expect to think with the mind of Jesus Christ and not with the mind of individual John or Jane Doe Christian. You can't think with your own mind. Once I start thinking with my own mind, then Christ doesn't have anything to do with it. I'm thinking on ground level. What's the song Adele used to sing? Plant my feet on higher ground. Okay, Lord, I'm moving on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Do you know what most Christians do in church? They're not strange men because they're thinking with earthly minds. This is the way I see it. This is the way I want it. And this is the way I want it controlled. And you need the mind of Christ. You need to be with your mind in the skies. In the NASB, the reading of Philippians 2:5 puts it this way. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, the King James, we lose a little. It says, have this attitude within yourself. What attitude, Charles? The same attitude that was also in Jesus. Now, if your attitude is not the attitude that Jesus has about the deal, then you're not a strange man. And most of our attitudes at times becomes our attitudes based upon our perception, what we see. And I want you to note what Christians do. Christians are strange creatures. Christians will look out and try to find those kind of attitudes that agree with them. And what I would do is I would ask you if Jesus agrees with that mind. Now, that's difficult to do. Because once you start asking if the Lord agrees with that mind, the Lord's going to let you know whether he agrees with it. Because the Lord is going to say, I don't think with a mind like that. I think through situations more keener than that. I'm strange. Jesus never made a decision in his 3-year ministry without giving mental thought to it. Now, just let me strain my mind a little bit. There was a woman taken in adultery. The Bible says the very act of adultery. The religious leaders brought this woman to Jesus and said, what does the law say? Now we know, Matthew, who wrote the law? Jesus did. So since Jesus said, I am the fulfillment of the law, them bringing the woman was supposed to trap him to have him to do to the woman that they wanted to do. Caught the woman in adultery, and the law says that if you're caught in adultery, you're to be stoned to death. Now these people are thinking, supposedly, this is the way God would do it. But what Jesus said was beautiful. He says, all right, I wrote the law, I established it. Now, those of you that is without sin, you do the first casting of stones. In other words, Jesus says, when I created the law, I created it to be a just law based upon mercy, not deed. And so what happens most of the time, Christians, the strange man that's called a believer doesn't think with the mind of Christ. They say, what does the Bible say? But then I'll say, what does the Bible mean? How is it used? What is going to be the outcome of the way you think? Thirdly, the strange man is steady when he is falsely accused. Look at this at verse 11. Blessed are you when men shall revile you, persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you. In other words, this scripture is very, I think, very plain right here. It's saying the strange man, the Christian, is a steady individual, never shaken. Oh, you're going to be shaken, but never shaken off of the spot. Strange man is steady whenever he is falsely accused. He never becomes rile. Now listen to me, Christian. Somebody can say something to you and you become riled, upset, ready to throw a fit, just don't understand and want to dislike, you're not, whenever he is falsely accused. He never becomes riled. Now listen to me, Christian. Somebody can say something to you and you become riled, upset, ready to throw a fit, just don't understand and want to dislike, you're not a strange man. Strange men are never that way. As I was preaching this morning and I told you, talking about when the devil accuses you, and I'm here to tell you that the devil is going to accuse every one of us in this room within 2 weeks. You're going to be accused by Satan. Did you know that when I am persecuted, falsely accused, that I'm never riled up? I might say to my wife, I might say to you, I says, my God, I can't believe this. But what are you going to do, Pastor? I says, I'm going to stand. Strange man is steady when he's falsely accused. He's never riled up. He's never stressed. Strange man is always a peaceable creature. You can know something. And when you know something, I mean know it. I didn't say suppose. I didn't say think on your level. Did you know that you can think on your level and swear that you know? You don't know anything. And if you talk with me, I'll say prove it. Prove that you know. Well, I want to feel. No, feelings don't matter in this situation. What do you know? Well, Pastor, really, I don't know anything. Are you upset? Are you steady? No, I'm confused. Well, why are you confused? The Bible says in verse 11, blessed are you when men shall revile you, shall persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Is this for Jesus' sake? Well, no, it's for somebody else's sake. Well, there's something wrong. We as Christians are strange, peculiar people in that we operate on a spiritual sphere and level. And those things that happen on an earthly sphere, you can never deal with spiritual manners. Listen to this. You can never deal with spiritual manners on an earthly level. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. Now, I found that out. I found that out. How many times have you prayed about getting another job? Brother Milton, you're in construction. Somebody may say, Brother Milton, you can make $1 million if you move to Northern California. You can make $1 million in 2 months. That means you wouldn't be able to see Jenny come home or do anything. We guarantee you $1 million. Then, Brother Milton, you get another job contract here that would take care of all your needs and everything, and you'd be able to stay home and take care of business here in the church and everything. Now, what's going to happen? This is what a strange man would do. A strange man would get on his knees and say, Lord, you lead me and guide me. Now, the Lord's going to lead and guide in a practical way. Now, guess what's going to happen? Somebody's going to say, Charles, you're a fool. Man, if I were you, yep, wait a minute, hold it. Are you a Christian? Yes. Before you make a decision like that, get on your knees and say, God, it doesn't matter what I want. What do you want? That's a strange man. And guess what? Guess what? If you choose the lesser job, some people are going to say, man, you're a fool. Well, that's being reviled. And you being rightly reviled for Jesus' sake, because Jesus says, I said no. And when somebody else says yes, you've got to do what Jesus says. That's a strange man. So, I also say that he's never riled, he's never stressed. Rather, he is peaceable, because our reaction to anxiety is cautiousness. Look at this. Think with me, strange people. Whenever anxiety comes in your life, the first thing that you should do is get cautious. Matthew, you should do just the way every other believer in the ages before them did. I'll never forget, upon reading the scriptures about the beloved Apostle Paul standing there before one of the kings and standing before the high priest, and they slapped Paul, and Paul said, well, one of them said, revilest thou the high priest, and slapped him. And Paul said, I didn't know that he was a high priest. He doesn't act like the high priest. But did you know that even though Paul was under that stringent persecution, what he did is he was cautious. And he said, I appeal to Caesar. Think about it. You need to read about Christians under pressure. He did not think with his own mind. Once an individual starts to think and to analyze things in his own mind, you're going to lose every time. And I don't know whether you recall what I said earlier this morning. I hate to repeat myself, but I think it's important during this time in the life of our church. Never discuss with anybody else anything when their spiritual mind is very, very immature in making decisions. The worst person, believer, that you can talk to in terms of what to do and how to do and what happens is a person that consistently makes bad choices. Because a person that makes bad choices is not thinking with a godly mind. They're thinking on the earthly sphere. And then what they're going to try to do is drag Jesus in that insanity. It doesn't work. Jesus has nothing to do with unrighteousness. I'm not going to look for the scripture, but I'm going to try to, if my mind serves me correct, and I hope I'm right when I go there. I believe it is Isaiah. Matthew, you check me out and see if I'm right here. I believe it is Isaiah chapter somewhere in 61, where it talks about the mind of Christ. I want you to find that scripture and let me know where it says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As high as the heaven above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than yours." God is saying, don't try to approach him with your mind. You will never reach God. 55 what? Thank you very much. And I'm going to go to Isaiah 55:8, and I'm going to read that scripture. Thank you, sister. That's it. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it." Do you know what God is saying? What I said is going to happen. God is saying, shut your mouth, close your mind down. What I've said is going to happen. You have nothing to do with it. Where we get out of the way, where we get in trouble, is when we say, I see it this way. And God has spoken in Isaiah 55, and I thank you, Sister Talba. God has spoken to us and says, you don't understand. I'm not on that level. See, because in this time, the Jews is trying to say, oh, no. God would never punish us. It would never happen that way. We his people. We're his elect. We're his choice. It's got to be this way because I see it. And God is saying, oh, no, you got me all wrong. I'm divine. I'm the potter. You the clay. You let me make that determination. So that's why I said that the strange man is one that is steady when falsely accused. Whenever any believer, based upon our scripture, is falsely accused, you strange because you're going to remain steady, never get stressed out. And your reaction to anxiety is cautiousness. Whenever things happen in your life, you become a cautious Christian because you're saying, wait, Lord, I can't move left, I can't move right, I can't move forward, and I can't go backwards. They may say, well, what you going to do? I ain't doing nothing. What? I'm not moving. Why? I don't have enough evidence. I don't know anything. Well, I think you ought to do that. What does God want me to do? How many hours have you spent on your knees? When has God ever worked out anything like that? Become strange people. Fourth and lastly, the strange man lives a life of joy in the face of calamity. Now you must keep in mind Matthew 10:34. Jesus said, I am come not to bring peace, but a sword. Now, Jesus is saying, my intent on coming to the earth was not to come and have everything peaceable. My intent was to come and bring punishment, retribution, to bring judgment. And when he says sword, that means to cut down that thing that is not right. But the life, the strange man lives a life of joy in the face of calamity, and I see that in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 5. He says, rejoice, strange man, be exceedingly glad. Now let's stop right here. Whenever persecution comes in your life, why don't you rejoice? Here's the key. This is what makes you a Christian. When false persecution, when any kind of persecution comes in your life, you are supposed to rejoice. You're never supposed to get angry. You're never supposed to get mad. You're never supposed to start to try to figure it out. You're supposed to rejoice. Pastor, I can't do that. You better look at the Beatitudes. Jesus said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad when you are persecuted, reviled, and all manner of evil is spoken against you. Rejoice. You want to find out who a Christian is? Watch him when he's persecuted. Watch him when he's going through hard trials. You know what? That person's going to be the first one at church on his knees praising the Lord. Usually, the one that is the weakest Christian, when they are persecuted, isolate themselves from the Lord and his house and his people. If I'm being persecuted, I want to be around you, brothers and sisters. I'm going to say, listen, y'all pray with me. I'm not going to say, pray this way, get them. I'm going to say, Holy Father, get me. Take me. Tear me up. Whip me down. Try me. Show me what I'm really made of. You know what the Lord's going to do? Just what he did in that Sunday school lesson this morning. Bring more affliction. He says, I'm going to try you and see what you're made of. So don't think like the world. The world's thing of persecution is to get out of it. To get on another team of opposition. To get some force and power behind you and say, we think this way. And the first thing that I'm going to say as a pastor is, how does God think? Well, I don't know. I don't have time to think about how he thinks. Well, I'm the Lord's. Whose side are you on, Pastor? The Lord's side. Well, what are you going to do? Nothing. Why? Because you got to do what you have to do. God is waiting to see what you made of, not me. I have nothing to do but watch you. The scripture says right here, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. So I see that the strange man lives a life of joy in the face of calamity. Exceeding joy. That is a command to do something in the future with repeated action. That's what that means when it says exceeding. It's a command by God saying, for the rest of your life, you are to be exceedingly joyful and active in that exceeding joy whenever you're persecuted. And most of the time, Christian says, I've had it up to here. I'm not taking it anymore. I've got to get a group of people behind me. And you better watch it if you align yourself behind someone that hasn't gotten on their knees. Because, see, you have gotten behind someone that God has said, that's not my thoughts. That's not my ways. You don't need, what did, listen. I said, it's not by power. It's not by might. It's not by factions in the church. It's by my spirit that you will be exonerated. So as we end this up, we ask this question tonight. Are we truly strange men? I would say that we would want to be. I would think that every believer would want to be a strange man. But in certain particular situations in your life, this is the result of a strange man. Judy, if I might, I'd like to use your example a few weeks ago because I think it fits perfectly. I called Judy, and I don't know what I called Judy about that day. And I think Judy must have had to clean the house and do the kids this and do the kids that. And Judy kind of said, blah, 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 blah. And Judy hung up. I said, what happened? Judy called me back that evening, or I called her back, and she said, Pastor, I'm sorry. I spoke with you rough. I didn't have to do it. See, that's a strange person. That's a strange man. Because, see, after she hung up, she thought about it, and the Holy Spirit is saying, it's not my way. All the pastor did was ask you a simple question, no ulterior motives. Now, you know what Judy could have did? Well, he knows I'm under pressure. Forget him. She's a strange man. She called back and says, hey, listen, I'm sorry. And I like to say this, Judy, you blessed the Bible class yesterday immensely. as the only female here. You did what two or three ladies could have done, and you did it, and you didn't grumble, and you couldn't have done it unless you called me back and become a strange man. That's what you got to do every day of your life. Whenever something comes in your life, whenever anything happens like that, you got to become real strange and do the complete.
God bless you. Thank you for receiving another Point A tape. Join us next week for another sermon. Are you a strange man?
Wow. What a great piece. I don't know when it was done. It was done. I don't have the tape recorded, but I'm glad I was able to put it up for you. It's called A Strange Man. And it just says master copy. And now the cassette goes in the trash because it's up on this website. Thank you for coming to the website. Those of you that want a clear explanation of what biblical Christianity is. You notice there was no whooping, hollering, singing, foolishness. Just the plain diagnosis of the word, of the characterization of one called Christ. That's the God that I follow. I'm a strange man. And then when I think about this, this was well long before the church kicked me out. And isn't that something? I precluded my being kicked out with responding as a strange man, and I responded just the way that I was supposed to. I recall years ago, another pastor friend of mine was being crucified by his church in Santa Monica, California, Calvary Baptist Church, and he wanted to sue the church. And I told him, I said, no, you don't sue. You don't stoop down and use those means that they use. You trust God. You take it. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. See, I preached this long before I told him that. But they didn't listen. I know a lot of so-called godly men that tried to sue other Christians. And the Bible plainly says that you don't bring a lawsuit against another believer. Even if they do bring it against you, that you're to suffer it. See, being a Christian today means that you suffer it. You suffer the pain. You suffer the loss. You suffer all those things. And then, as the Bible says, great is your reward in heaven. Now, I can't prove that. I don't know how that's going to be. I don't know how it's going to be substantiated. But I want to be that strange man. Thank you for coming to my website and checking me out. God bless.